often a new paradigm, like a messiah, appears in the most unexpected places and among the most unlikely people. Such was the case of Nicholas Copernicus, 1473-1543. The reluctant Polish rebel, by all contemporary accounts, he certainly lacked any distinguishing or conspicuous qualities. After obtaining a degree in Ptolemaic astronomy at the University of Krakow, he spent the next several years in Padua, Bologna, Rome, studying medicine, canon law, and whatever other subject took his fancy. For a time, he lectured in astronomy and mathematics, apparently quite content to play the obscure role of a wandering scholar. And then, on his 40th birthday, the midlife crisis, he suddenly switched lifestyles, evidently feeling that he could no longer avoid his self-appointed mission. He chose, quite deliberately, I think, to settle in the most forlorn, dreary place he could find, East Prussia, as remote from Rome as Fairbanks, Alaska from New York City. And there he assumed the duties of a canon, a priest attached to a cathedral, and also practiced medicine. Obviously, he did not want any papal authorities looking over his shoulder when he wrote his book, The Revolutions of the Heavenly Spheres, a seemingly innocuous title, although Copernicus knew well its true revolutionary implications. With precious little data and much speculation, based upon the Pythagorean mathematical mysticism, Copernicus proposed a heliocentric, that is, sun-centered universe, wherein the Earth, rotating on its axis, quote, passes in a great orbit among the other planets in an annual revolution around the sun, center of the universe, end of quote. It is almost impossible these days of moonwalks, planetary exploration, and Star Wars to imagine the devastating consequences of such a theory. To expel the Earth from the center of creation would destroy Dante's universe, shatter the celestial spheres, disperse the host of angels. But more, much more, it would deny the validity of Western science. And the teachings of the church. 1700 years ago, Aristotle, the father of science, had formulated the theory of a geocentric, earth-centered universe. Ptolemy, the last great ancient astronomer, verified the theory. St. Thomas Aquinas blessed the geocentric concept by incorporating it into Christian theology. For Copernicus, a lowly canon of the church, to say otherwise, embraces heresy, even blasphemy. Certainly, it must have been a moral dilemma for a devout Catholic. The completed manuscript lay hidden in a drawer for 13 years. Only when Copernicus learned that he had not much longer to live did he allow its publication in Nuremberg. And by happenstance, a Lutheran professor managed to get a published volume to him a few hours before his death. as predicted, the church eventually banned the book, even though it was dedicated to Pope Paul III. But the Catholic Church did not stand alone. The leaders of the Protestant Reformation were equally hostile in the beginning. Luther scathingly remarked, "This fool wishes to reverse the entire history of astronomy." And Calvin denounced the theory as contrary to the teachings of the Bible.